this morning. I appreciate you being here, and I hope the Lord will certainly speak to our hearts this morning out of the book of Psalms. I'm going to be teaching from Psalm 40 in the Sunday school hour, as well as preaching from that psalm in the morning hour in the worship service to follow here in just a little while, and I hope the Lord help us. Benny, would you run out to the van? I've got some handkerchiefs laying right in the floor between the seats, and bring me one in here, okay? So if you want to turn in your Bibles this morning with us to Psalm number 40, and we'll take our thought from there this morning, all right, out of Psalm number 40. And I want to read the first 10 verses this morning and try to preach out of verses, Lord willing, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 to our heart today on a thought now that God's given me out of that. That I hope will be a blessing to us. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. You know, I never even thought of this last 2 weeks ago when I was preaching from this particular passage. But to wait patiently upon the Lord while one's feet is sinking in the mire is certainly takes a great deal of grace. It's like standing still at the Red Sea when with Pharaoh behind you, and the sea before you and the mountains on both sides and nowhere to go. But that is a perfect picture of a sinner in despair having no one else to turn to but Christ. He waits patiently while sinking in the mire until the Lord delivers him from that pitiful condition that he is in. And he said, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I preach righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Now may the Lord add his blessing this morning to the reading of his word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of being in Sunday school. I pray that you'll help our hearts now. As you open David's ears, may you open ours, open our understanding. Help us, I pray, Lord, to glean from great truths from the word of God today that our lives may be established and settled and strengthened in thee. I pray that you'll bless every heart, that you'll be glorified and honored. And may we praise thee and worship you today in real spirit and in truth. And we'll thank you for what's accomplished in every heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I want to try to bring a thought out of verses primarily, out of verse 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 this morning, fellas, on the essence of obedience. The essence of obedience, or I could say the essence of our devotion. I really believe that God's people ought to be entirely devoted to their Christian work and be in complete obedience to and devoted to the Word of God. Now, in verses 1 through 5, we have an account of David's deliverance. He said there that the Lord, that he waited patiently, and the Lord brought him up out of a horrible pit. And out of the miry clay, and he set his feet upon a rock and established his goings. And so David here is speaking about a time in his life when he was delivered by the Lord from this a distressful situation or condition that he found himself in. Now, I found here a divine order in the Word of God. First, we find deliverance and then devotion. Amen. And fellas, I am satisfied of this very thing, that where there is no devotion to the Lord and His work and His ministry, there has never been any deliverance. Amen. I say, secondly, that deliverance demands our devotion. That's right. It demands our respect. It demands our devotion. It demands our attention. It demands our love. It demands our very being. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't put one grain of confidence in a man's salvation that does not show himself devoted to the Lord and to the work of God. And somebody said, well, Brother Hall, we're really not all preachers. I didn't say anything about being a preacher. I said being devoted to the work of God. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but David said here, he said, lo, in the volume of the book it is written of me. He said, I have come to do thy will, O God. Now, gentlemen, that takes devotion. That takes great dedication. Now, notice something with me, and it may sound, and it almost sounds like a paradox from the Scripture. In verse number 6, David said, sacrifice and offering, the Lord did not desire it. In fact, he said that he did not even require it. Now, you know, that really sounds kind of strange, because we know that it took the offering or the sacrifice of our Lord upon Calvary to buy you and I salvation. But I don't really think this is exactly and altogether what David had in mind here. I think he's talking about personal sacrifice, individual sacrifice, an individual offering. And really, we find that in the book of Samuel, in Samuel chapter number 15. Samuel spoke almost these exact words to Saul there when he spoke about God not being honored, you know, with sacrifices and offerings or the fat of rams, but it was obedience to God. Amen. Is what it required. Now, somebody said, but the Lord did pay the sacrifice upon Calvary. Yes, He did. But I want to say He did that in obedience to the Lord. It was necessary. That was God's will, gentlemen, for His life. And our Lord Jesus was totally 100% dedicated to doing the will of God, dedicated to the service of God, and He could not bypass Calvary. And so the Lord there looked at, God looked upon the travail of our Lord's soul and was satisfied in His obedience. Now somebody said, Brother Hall, was there obedience there? Oh yes. He humbled Himself, gentlemen, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so really here, prophetically speaking, and the prophetic interpretation of this text here is the obedience and the devotion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I'll tell you, when I read the Bible and come to grips in my own heart with how devoted the Lord Jesus was to serving God, I'll tell you, it makes me want to find a hole and bury myself in that hole. It sure does. Do you know when he was just a little bitty boy, gentlemen, that his parents found him in the temple in Jerusalem, and there teaching Bible doctrine to the lawyers and the doctors that was there? And when his parents asked him, you know, and I'll paraphrase this, what in the world are you doing here? He said, wish you not that I must be about my Father's business? Even as a child, he was dedicated and devoted to the work of God. Now, I want to say right here that God requires no less than that out of you and I that have been saved by the grace of God. I want to run it by you again. I don't have any confidence in a man or a woman's salvation in God, in Christ, if they are not devoted in certain areas of their life. Gentlemen, and this is not in my notes, but I'll run it by you. We ought to be devoted in our Bible reading. It's not something that we ought to just do if we have time for it. I'm talking about making time and reading the Word of God. Somebody said, preacher, but I work these hours and I work that hours. Hey, I'm telling you, if you work too many hours to read the Bible, you're working too many hours. You need to cut back on your hours and get in the book. We ought to be devoted to prayer. Somebody said, oh, I just don't have time to pray. Then make time to pray. I'll never forget old Brother Sammy Allen. I heard him say years ago that praying, we don't take time to pray. You got to make time to pray. And gentlemen, the flesh and the devil will offer you every reason in the world why you ought to refrain from praying, or why you can make an... Well, see, he doesn't care. He wants you to just put it off. And if he can get you to put it off one day, then he can get you to put it off another day and another time and another time. Now, I'm just simply saying we need to be devoted in our prayer life. May I say we ought to be devoted in our witnessing.
Amen.
You know, I've been accused now of being a Calvinist because I do not have an organized visitation program. I'll be honest with you. I've read the 66 books of this Bible a great deal. And I have not found one place in here where it instructs us in the New Testament church to have an organized visitation program. But I have found in several places where we're to go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, or where we're to go in the power of God, being a witness, or where we're to sow the Word of God, or where we're to be an example in the presence of lost men. And gentlemen, I'm saying we ought to be devoted to our witnessing for the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
And I could go on and on there, but that's not in my thoughts today. I want to try to take this thought on the essence of obedience, or being divinely devoted, and look at it in the text that it's written in the text of this psalm. Now, you notice there in verse number 6, that David said, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. But what did God desire? If he did not desire sacrifice and offering, what did God do here in the life of David or for David? Notice the very next statement. Mine ears hast thou opened. Oh, my. May I say to you this morning that devotion, gentlemen, to God begins with our hearing.
Amen.
I'm afraid that we're slothful today in our devotion because we fail or neglect to hear what we ought to hear out of the Word of God. That is absolutely right. He said, mine ears hast thou opened. Notice what the wise man said in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And verse number 1, he said, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. And so really what Solomon is saying, gentlemen, is that when we come to the house of God, we ought to be ready to hear the Word of God. Somebody said, I had to make a great sacrifice to get out of bed on Sunday morning and come to the house of God. Why, Brother Hall, don't you know I could be like the heathen and be sitting at my breakfast table this morning enjoying a cup of coffee and reading the newspaper and the sports section and trying to learn who won in the playoff last night on the two. I'm going to be honest with you, gentlemen. I don't give a flip who won the playoffs last night. I tell you what I am concerned about this morning is coming to the house of God on a faithful, regular basis and opening my ears and hearing what thus saith the Word of God to Gary Hall. Amen to God. I'll tell you, we're weak in our devotion today, gentlemen, because we have closed our ears to the truth, and we're not living in a famine of the preaching of the Word of God. There is a famine in our land of hearing the Word of God. Now, there's more preaching going on in America today than there ever has been. I mean, we've got the church, we've got radio, and God forbid, but we have got television. I don't know whether there's anybody on it preaching anything or not, but we've got all kinds of means of preaching the Word of God. And yet men and women today are less dedicated and devoted to Christ than they have ever been in my entire life. My, if we get like Paul, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I count all things but loss that I might win Christ. I count all things but dung that I may win Him, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, in the fellowship of His sufferings, and being made conformable unto His death. And you know why that Paul was that devoted? Because in Acts chapter number 9, there come a day in his life when he heard a voice from heaven. I wonder today if we're really hearing the voice of God. In fact, I wonder if we're really listening to the voice of God. Why, most churches you go to today is no more than a fashion show. I've been to camp meetings, fellas. It's no more than a fashion show. They don't go to hear from God. People go to strut. They don't go to hear. Neither do they go to see. But they go to be seen. God help us. Son, I'm telling you, I'm going to come to church and listen to the voice of the darling Son of God. No, somebody said, why, Brother Hall? I'm glad you asked. Because no man ever spake like this man. I'm telling you, friend, right there is the 66 wonderful love letters written from God above, and it ought to be received into the heart of every born-again child of God in this earth. And if we'll receive it in our hearing, gentlemen, it will transform our lives and help us to be devoted and dedicated to the work of God. I'm telling it right. Amen to God. Now, don't nobody leave me now. You know what Brother James said about this thing about hearing? Now, Jesus, David said there, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, but he said, you did open my ears.
Right.
Now, some believe, because that word open, it means dig. You digged and you opened my ears. And some men believe that this is in reference to the relationship of a servant to his master. That in the year of Jubilee, if that servant... the master was to release that servant. If the servant loved that master and wanted to remain with him, they would bore a hole through his ear. They would dig through his ear and insert an ownership ring in that man's ear. Was a mark that he was a bond slave to that master for the rest of his life. And surely Paul was a bondservant, David was a bondservant, and no man was ever a servant like our Lord. But I do not believe that is entirely what David is saying here. It's more, has to do rather with just being a bondservant than being a servant and hearing what God has to say to it. He said, my ears thou hast opened. In other words, gentlemen, the way to the heart is through the ears. And David said, you dig through my ears and open my ears that I might understand with my heart. See, it's one thing to hear with your ears, but it's another thing, gentlemen, to understand with your heart. Huh? Now, don't nobody leave me. Guess what Brother James said about this thing about hearing? He said in James chapter 1, verse number 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. But oh, I'm afraid that in 1998 we just about got that backwards. Huh? We're just about living in a Corinthian church. You know that was one of their problems? When they come together, Paul said, how come every one of you's got a psalm, got a hymn, got a doctrine, got this, got that? In other words, in that Corinthian church, they all had to get up and say something. They all had to have something to say. And brethren, I'm telling you, we just about got there.
Right.
When even amongst preachers, they're not interested in hearing what somebody's got to say. They can't wait to get to their turn so they can talk. And we do more talking. I tell you, it'd do us all well to study to be quiet. To study to be quiet. I'm telling you, the longer I live, gentlemen, the more I see, the better off. Hey, we're much better off to button our lips and just refrain from talking. Because I'm telling you, too much talk will lead to gossip or You will say something that somebody will misconstrue and pick up out of the way. And later on down the road, they'll try to use your words and to entrap you or to bring you into bondage or to try to prove something on you that you never really meant from your heart to begin with. And us creatures have a terrible problem of trying to really get out of our heart and say with our lips what we feel in our heart. If you've never tried to preach, some of you have never tried to preach, you may not understand what I'm saying. But sometimes as a preacher, you get something right down there that you try to convey to your people, and it just don't come out up here like you trying to, like it's lodged down here. Ain't that right? You meant to preach, you know I'm telling you right. Sometimes it don't come out like you intend for it to come out. Son, I've come down here to preach before and tell Miss Hall, say, honey, she said, what are you preaching now? I say, boy, we're going to have a time in the house of God today. And she said, it's a glory message. But when I get to preaching, instead of it being glory, it's a sawbriar. You know what I'm saying? And it ain't coming out like I got it in. And gentlemen, hey, that's why we ought to be swift to hear.
Amen.
And slow to speak.
Amen.
And slow to wrath. I'm going to tell you something else. Brother Nolan read this verse of Scripture now when he preached here on last Friday morning. Out of Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, when our Lord said, take heed therefore how you hear.
Amen.
Take heed, gentlemen, how you hear. Somebody said, why, Brother Hall, may I run this by you? Hearing wrong corrupts the heart. Because what you hear here eventually makes its way down to here, gentlemen. Let's let that soak in. Somebody said, Brother Hall, will you give us an illustration? I sure will. Son, what about these people that sit in these charismatic churches and hear? What has it done to their heart? What about people? Oh, somebody said they don't hear. Oh, they're hearing, gentlemen. What about this crowd of Jehovah's Witnesses that sit every Sunday and listen to wrong words? What about Latter-day Saints that sit every Sunday and listen to wrong words? Take heed, brethren, to what you hear. I'm telling you, we live in a society. Under God, I wish this thing had come out the way I want it to come out. I'm telling you, we have got people today, and I say this with respect, a lot of old people that sit at home, and the only church they get is what they see on television, and what they see on television is the likes of Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland and John Hagee and that group. And I'm telling you, I've never heard such asinine stuff in my life. That's what's coming out of the lips of those men. Brother Brown told us men in that radio room back there over the marathon that I believe it was Kenneth Copeland made the statement that the Bible said in the book of Genesis that God gave Adam dominion over the fowls of the air. And he said because he had dominion over the fowls of the air, that means that he had the power to fly. Well, hey, brethren, God also gave him dominion over the fish of the sea. Does that mean he had gills also? And Adam was an amphibian that could fly in the air or swim in the sea or crawl upon the ground like a reptile? Old John Frisbee told me the other day that I saw Kenneth Copeland on television and hissing like a snake and said people sitting out behind him crawling around like a reptile on their belly and hissing like snakes. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what's going on? I'm telling you what's going on, brethren. What they have heard has corrupted their heart and led them in a false way that is not of God. That's right. Hey, you better take heed how your children hear. Now, I'm going to tell you something, fellas. Now, I say this in love and honesty. You let your young'un sit on the pews of Island Ford Baptist Church and hear what Brother Hall preaches, and then let them sit on the pews of a Pentecostal church and hear what they preaching, they're going to be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Somebody said, Brother Hall, you just unfriendly. No, I'm not unfriendly. I'm telling you, gentlemen, that what we hear shape and mold our lives, and we better take heed how we hear. Look at America. They have heard from Hollywood, and now they're hearing from the White House all this evil and corrupt lifestyle. And, brother, they believe in their heart that it is all right to live that way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. David said, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, but thanks be unto God, you opened up my ears that I might hear the truth of the Word of God. Amen. I can see some of you's already so mad you can bite a 10-penny nail into. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you get mad at me busting Pentecostal doctrine and charismatic doctrine, you need to get saved. That's right. Hey, that crowd, fellas, I was sitting up in Shoney's one night years ago after a revival meeting here, and Vestal Goodman and the crowd come walking in. They had been down here at the Victory Church. And Vestal was standing there at the end of the food court. She was getting some soup, and I heard her talking to the preacher that was down there. Brother Donnie Ezell was sitting there. He can verify exactly what I'm telling you. And old Vestal said, telling that preacher, said, yeah. Said, I was up till 3 o'clock this morning trying to get the message out of it from God for today. And said about 3 o'clock this morning, said, Jesus come to the room and stood at the foot of my bed and told me what I ought to preach today. And said, thank God, said I, after he told me what I ought to preach, said I just laid down and went to sleep. I'm going to tell you, there ain't but two things wrong with that. Number one, God don't tell no woman what to preach. And number two, he doesn't appear in visions and dreams and tell nobody nothing. Now, if you believe he does speak in visions and dreams, friend, your hearing has been found out. He speaks by the Word of God, not visions and dreams. He spoke in times past by the prophets, gentlemen. But in these last days, Paul said, he has spoken unto us by his Son. And I'd give you some good advice. Hear ye him from that book. That's right. Now, you hear me well now. Why does it matter what we hear, fellas? Hey, and how does that have to deal with our obedience or our devotion to Christ? Number one, right hearing produces faith.
Amen.
10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing what, Brother Hall? Hearing by the Word of God. So what I'm saying, gentlemen, is faith comes by hearing the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
By hearing it.
Amen.
And to hear it, you got to have your ears digged.
Yes.
Got to get the ear wax out. Tell unto God, I'm telling you, some Baptist ought to take some cotton swabs, bless God, and run it from one end to the other. Get the ear wax out so they can hear what thus saith the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. No wonder we are so faithless today. I heard old Milford Biddle in a meeting some years ago. He said the greatest sin in independent Baptist churches is the sin of unbelief.
Amen.
Now, if it's unbelief, gentlemen, it's a lack of faith.
That's right. Amen.
Yes. And if there is a lack of faith, then apparently it's come from a lack of hearing of the Word of God.
Amen.
And a lack of laying hold of the promises of God. But ain't that right? Ain't that right? Ain't that right? I know I'm telling it right. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oh, gentlemen, I'm going to tell you what I just read the other day, where the Lord said if we had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, we could tell a mountain to move out of its place and it'd do it. Now I'm telling you, that filled me with shame. I wanted to bury my head in the sand. Have you ever looked at a grain of mustard seed, how small it is? And if we just had that kind of a faith, I'm talking about something the size of this pinhead. If we just had the faith the size of that pinhead, gentlemen, we could move some mountains.
Yes.
Some mountains of opposition.
Yes.
Some mountains of hindrance.
Amen.
Amen to God. If we had that kind of faith, brethren, we could win some sinners to God.
Yes.
Somebody said, why can't we win sinners to God? Because we just don't believe in it today. That's why. We just don't believe it, gentlemen. I mean, the just shall live by faith, and if we've been justified, our witness and our devotion to that, amen to God, comes from hearing the Word of God and taking faith in the promises of God and believing that God will do what He says He'll do.
Amen.
That's right. Right hearing produces faith. I want to say secondly, right hearing provides fellowship. Now I hope God will let me get right on that for just a minute. Our Lord said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice." Now look here. Don't just say, "Oh, you got to do is hear His voice." Say that that is at the close of what we call the dispensation of grace or the church age. It immediately follows, or is in the last days of the Laodicean church age. And I don't have time to tell you what the Laodicean, what Laodicea means, but I'll run just a little of it by you. It's a church of the people and not of God. That's where Laodicea comes from the word laity that means people. It is a church age when men are doing that which is right in their own eyes.
Amen.
Brethren, why would people do what's right in their own eyes? I'll tell you, because they're not doing what that book says, and they're not because they're not hearing what that book says. Oh, the voice of fellowship. I wonder if you've opened the door to Him today and let Him come in and sup with you. I'm going to tell you something, brother. I ain't say this. I just throw this out at you. But at midnight last night, He let me know He still loved me.
Amen.
That's right. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like it. Let me give you men a little pointer. Let that little woman go to bed at night and pick up that Bible and sit down in the solitude of the evening and in the quiet of the night and sup with Jesus a little while. Our problem is we're too busy supping coffee at the restaurants and supping Pepsi Colas and eating popcorn, watching television.
Amen.
To sup with the Lord Jesus. And hey, you ever heard His voice?
Amen.
And opened the door? Oh, I'm telling you, there's nothing like it, gentlemen.
To know
that the great God of heaven has given you and I the glorious and wonderful privilege of sitting down and conversing with Him.
Yes.
That just absolutely, somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't understand how. By faith, brethren.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you, He is a person.
Amen.
Jesus is not a figment of our imagination, brethren. He is a real person. Somebody said, "Oh, I can't see Him. Oh, but I can hear Him."
Yes,
I can hear His voice.
Yes,
sir. I'm going to tell you something. I'll never forget the day I heard His voice when He saved me.
Amen.
I'll never forget the day I heard His voice when He called me to preach.
Amen. Amen.
By the good grace of God, I'm going to hear His voice. When He calls me out, thank God. I know I will. Somebody said, "How do you know it?" Because the very next part of my thought this morning, right hearing promises future blessing. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Hallelujah to God. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Thanks be unto God, there's coming a day, brethren, when all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and some shall come forth. Those, and they all shall come forth. They that have been saved come forth unto life, and those that are lost come forth unto damnation and judgment. I'm glad, thank God, that I have heard His voice. I still am hearing His voice, and there's coming a future day when I shall again hear His voice. Whew! Whew! Oh. old, John said, I was standing on the Isle of Patmos. And said, a door was opened up yonder in heaven. And he said, a door now, mind you. Jesus said, I am the door.
Yes.
Now get this, and he said, I heard a voice talking unto me as if it was a trumpet. And brethren, it said, come up hither.
Amen.
Hallelujah, yes, to God. Yes! Faith,
yes,
fellowship, and eternity with the darling Son of God. Oh, what joy floods my soul to know that He that led me and died for me and sits down in fellowships with me, amen to God, I'll have the glorious privilege of spending all time and eternity in His presence. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Not a long distant presence either. Close at hand. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God, gentlemen.
Yes.
And by the way, I want to be obedient and devoted to Christ.
Amen.
Until that day comes.
Amen.
And that obedience, brethren, must begin in our hearing.
Amen.
Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. But He said, my ears, He opened them up. I wonder what that old deaf man thought when he come to Jesus and all he could see was this, just like a lost man. Well, speaking of me and you sat down for, say, 25 years and wasn't nobody around but me and you was talking all, and when I'd responded, wouldn't be too good, would it? But you know, Jesus put His fingers in that old boy's ears that day. Said, you know who it is speaking to you? That old deaf man said, not the God. I can hear for the first time. He digged my ears. He helped me to hear. I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. If He's opened your ears, if He has unstopped your ears and opened your eyes and healed your diseases and sicknesses, added strength to your afflictions, give power to your legs to walk with Him and walk uprightly, then my God, we ought to be devoted to the cause of Christ 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and by the way, 366 on leap year. That's right. Now notice the second thing here. Devotion not only has its beginning in our hearing, but it must proceed from the heart, gentlemen.
Amen.
It cannot just come from what we hear. If all we do is hear and not understand with the heart, then we'll be like Pharisees. We'll be like Pharisees. Let me ask you this. Well, let me read this text. He said in the last part of verse 6, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written to me. In verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart.
Amen.
So you have the hearing, but that devotion, dedication, must come, proceed out of the man's heart. Jesus said something to this effect in one of His parables. He said, when the Word of God is sowed and a man receives it or hears it, then the devil comes and snatches it away lest he should understand with his heart and be converted. And so it goes deeper than just hearing. It's got to come out of the heart. For out of the heart proceed the issues of life, gentlemen. Huh? Listen to what I've got written down here. Hey. No outward or formal devotion was rendered by Christ. His heart was in His work. Holiness was His element. The Father's will was His meat and drink. And we must each of us be like our Lord in this, or we shall look we shall lack the evidence of being his disciples. That's what the bearded prophet said, fellas. In other words, Jesus was devoted to serving God. And if we lack that, then where is the evidence of our salvation? If we lack obedience, brethren, where is the evidence of our salvation? Oh, the Pentecostals say, I spoke in tongues. Or I am a great faith healer. But I want to remind you that many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out disciples and devils in thy name? And he'll say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. But I'm going to tell you who that crowd he'll say welcome home are they that do the will of the Father. Gentlemen, that's obedience. That's obedience. Now don't tell me you're saved if you never obey anything that Bible teaches. Matter of fact, James said, don't just be a hearer of the Word of God, deceiving yourselves, but be a doer of the Word. That's the heart right there, brethren. There's the heart. There's the heart. Now, it's just going, hey, the Lord, it just wasn't some little formal, outward devotion. I mean, putting on a little garb and coming to church on Sunday mornings. My brother Nolan called me last night and said, well, I just wanted to call you and tell you that I thought you ought to know. Because my brother's dying, asked me to be an executor of a living will. He wants me to carry it out. He's going to die. But because he's a whoremonger, he's left Bible Baptist Church and joined a Carmelite Christian church where they take a little wafer on their lip and drink a little wine and get baptized. And then they start drinking wine, eating wafers. And that's living. I mean, they can wear Bermuda shorts and whoremonger, do whatever they want to do. But they're going to heaven when they die. Now, I'm going to tell you what, brethren, the Lord had more than some little formal devotion. An outward ceremony when he walked upon this earth. Hey, he was not doing, brethren, what he was doing to be seen of men. His heart was in it. No rich man ever became poor that we might be made rich without his heart being in it. No man ever went without a bed, without food, without sleep, without the proper clothing, without his heart being in it. No man ever done what Jesus did without his heart being in it. I want to ask you something this morning. Is your heart into it?
Amen.
Are you here out of a love for Christ?
Amen.
Are you here because your wife shamed you into coming? Are you here because it's the right thing to do? Are you here because it appeases your conscience and makes you feel good? I'm telling you why I'm here this morning.
Yes.
Son, I'm here because I delight to do thy will, O God. That's what David said. Son, I don't, hey, ain't that what he said? He said, I delight to do thy will. I'm telling you, friend, it is not something that I feel like that I'm made to do. I get joy out of coming to the house of God and singing and a praying and a preaching and a living to the glory of God. Hallelujah to God. My heart's into it. Thank be unto God. And all that you do, brethren, do heartily as unto the Lord. Put your heart and soul into it. Thank be unto God. I know men who roll out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning to go work on a public job and drag their feet on something. Honey, it's the only day of rest I got. You mean tell me you can't rest sitting on padded pews? Air-conditioned building? Are you hearing what? And hearing the Word of God? Oh, somebody said, my body's tired. Yeah, but if you don't get right to God, your soul will fry in hell someday. We can rest later. We can rest later. Somebody said, oh, I'm a saving my body. I don't want to get my body too bent out of shape. That I want to live a long time. Hey, Jesus lived more than most of us will ever live in 17,000 lifetimes, and he lived it in 33 years.
Yeah.
Woo!
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you something, brethren. It's not how long you live. It's how you live with what time God gives you to live. Son, I say, hey, old David Brainerd died, I believe, when he was 28 years old, just a young man. Died, no doubt, of probably either tuberculosis or cancer of the lung, probably tuberculosis. Died of that. But I'm telling you, he lived while he was here, and he loved to live for God, dragging through the snow, dragging through the cold with blood running out of his shoes and on the snow. They could track him in the snow by the blood that dripped from his free feet. But I'm telling you, he loved them Indians and carried the Word of God up and down the eastern seacoast, carried the gospel to the Indians because his heart, brethren, was in it. You know why David Livingston died on his knees in Africa? Because his heart was in it. You know why Hudson Taylor went to China, brethren? Because his heart was in it. You know why Basil Maloff went to Siberia for God? Because his heart was in it. I'm telling you, do you know why Paul counted all things but dung? Because his heart was in it. That's right. Got to have a heart for it, gentlemen. Amen. He delighted to do it. And by the way, he was decreed to do it. Somebody said, what do you mean decree? In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I said this prophetically speaking points to Christ. He said, it's just written in the book that I do this. Now I'm going to say something, brethren. There's some things in this book God decreed for you and I to do. We do them just because he's wrote them in the book and said we do it. Ain't that right? It was decreed. And then he demonstrated his obedience and devotion. Somebody said, how did he demonstrate it? Now, I'm glad you asked. I've been waiting to get there. I feel like I could climb up on this pulpit. He said, for I have preached.
Amen.
I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Somebody said, where did he demonstrate it? Let me ask you something. Where does the great congregation gather at, brethren? I'm saying obedience began with the hearing, proceeded from the heart, but it was evidenced or demonstrated down at the house of God. Ain't that right? Oh, Brother Hall, I'm going to lay it home this morning. Go on, heathen. I'm going to church. Amen to God. Look here. He demonstrated it by preaching righteousness to the great congregation. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I'm not a preacher. Well, not in the essence that I'm a preacher. But I'm here to tell you, friend, we're all preachers in our own right. You're going to tell me that your life cannot demonstrate the righteousness of God? You can't put on the right clothes, dress right, live right, go to the house of God and demonstrate the righteousness of God? Oh, that's right, and be an example to unbelievers that they might see the righteousness of God in you. Hallelujah to God. Woo! 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 I see them ladies is out there. Devotion is manifest at the house of God. That's where you see it. That's where he said your salt ought to be. That's where he said your light ought to be. He set the light on a candlestick at the house. Yes! That's time to go home, Lord. I'm starting to feel saved.
Amen.
Now look here. He not only declared his righteousness, but look at the next statement. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. Thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. Let it out.
Amen.
You know what Paul said in Romans 1? He said that men hold.
Right.
They hold righteousness within their heart. They hide the righteousness of God in their heart. In other words, they've heard
and they know what to do, but they keep her in the heart. They will not do it for one reason or another. Son, if I know what to do, I'm going to do it for her. Let's the devil. I walked in a store the other day, just this week, and I said, a little old candy shop. And I said, you got any fresh coffee? And the three ladies in there, older ladies, and one of them said, well, yes, sir. Said, just made a fresh pot. Said, I'll give her. I said, I'm a weary traveler, and I need a cup of coffee. And she said, where are you going? She ought not to have said that, brethren. I said, I'm a going to heaven by the grace of God. She said, I hope I am. I said, I know I am, thank God. I've been to Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and I know I'm a going to heaven. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yeah. Somebody said, how do you know that? Hey, the very next statement, David said, I'm declaring thy faithfulness. I know I'm a going because he that told me so is faithful. Brother, I want to proclaim his faithfulness but the house of God. You know what I read in the book of Lamentations just the other day? When old Jeremiah sat and watching Jerusalem burn to the ground, he said, my, he said, that great city, it's being burned to the ground. But here's what he said in Lamentations chapter 3. He said, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Get this now, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And then old Jeremiah, watching the city burn to the ground, and the people carried away captive, said, great is thy faithfulness. I'm here to tell you, brethren, somebody said, Brother Hall, what if he burns us to the ground? Great is his faithfulness. Son, I know if there's a skin worms destroy and defy this body of clay, that I shall yet see him in my flesh. Hallelujah to God, because God is faithful. Now, you know what? Because Israel wasn't faithful to him, and he had been faithful to them, he said, you're an adulterous whore. You are an adulterous whore. I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. Spiritually, if you're not faithful to him that has been faithful to you, you're a whore. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Don't say a prostitute. I said a whore. Because a prostitute gets something in return, but a whore gets nothing. But what little bit of pleasure she gets. I'm telling you, I can't for my life understand men and women that will give themselves up to pleasure and defile themselves being unfaithful to God when God has been so merciful, compassionate, tender, and faithful to you and I. Oh, my soul is overwhelmed within me when I think of the goodness and the grace and the glory of God toward me. That's right. I'm going to tell you what we've got in our Baptist churches today is a bunch of male whores. Pardon that expression, gentlemen. Running around with everything. Hobnobbing with every crowd. Run with the lost. Run with this bunch and that bunch. And want a pack. Want a pet. Jehovah's Witnesses and everybody else on the back and talk about how good they are.
Yeah, come on.
Huh? I forget who it was now. I forget who it was, so I won't mention it. But notice the last thing David said here where he manifests his faithfulness, what he was declaring down to the house of God. He said in the last part of verse 10, he said, I have not concealed thy loving kindness. Amen. Concealed it, gentlemen. I've got to think about that word conceal, to cover it up. I'm not about to cover up. Hey, do you know the only way I know to uncover is loving kindness? Just open myself up to you and tell it like it is, buddy. He's been good to old Brother Hall. Thank God, I'm telling you, I ought to be in hell. I sat last night about 17 minutes after 12. and was finishing this out, and I got to thinking about the loving kindness of God. And I thought, Lord, how could you love me? Now, friend, that amazed, it may not amaze you, but that amazes me. When I consider His loving kindness toward me. My goodness, how God loved old Brother Hall. I'm talking, hey, just an old miserable, wretched, rotten, ungodly sinner. Amen. Ought to have been thrown in Gehenna, son, head first. But God, in loving kindness, came to where I was, polluted and corrupted in my own blood, and defiled with sin, ungodly and going to hell, wretched and miserable and naked and blind. But thank God, He put clothes on my nakedness, opened up my blinded eyes, poured in oil and wine into putrefying sores, made me fit for the presence of God, sealed me with the Holy Ghost, sanctified me unto God, made me fit for the presence of heaven, and said by the grace of God, I'm a going there someday. Whoa! What a God!
Yeah.
What a God we have. Because He's been faithful to me, brethren, I want to be obedient to Him.